today we are on this series called, we have been on this 5-week series called Rest. Today's series is Rest as a Resistance to Self-Sufficiency. Wow, very long. So, me, China, auntie, right? We just say, just rest lah. God wants us to rest in Him. And God is sufficient. Right? So let me quickly, I got this from Cambridge Dictionary. It says, what is self-sufficient? Yeah, it's able to provide everything you need, take care of yourself, be happy, deal with problems without the help from other people. I don't know how I can do my life or raising up children or surviving my husband in the marriage without God. All right? Because in God, I can rest in Him. Today, we're going to use this scripture. It says, it's taken from Psalms 3. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, if you're a parent like me, something must be really wrong if you have to flee from your son, especially when your son wants to kill you. So when you read Psalms 3, you read with the emotion, not just read, read. But you read with the emotion of, if you're a parent here, you read with emotion of, how would you feel like if your son is chasing you, and your son wants to kill you? It's your own son, you know, okay? What's so beautiful about these Psalms is, if you read Samuel chapter 15 to 18, it tells you the story of how Absalom wanted to kill his dad and what happened. That instance, the whole time. So you can read the history. So it's very, very exciting on Second Samuel chapter 15. So it's pom, 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 pom. We're like, wow. But when you read Psalms 3, it's a mirror image. It tells you the emotions of what David is going through. So let's read Psalm 3 together. It says, let's read together, okay? It says, oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Now, so what happened was, when David found out that the son is going to come to Jerusalem and take the throne, he had to flee quickly. So when he fled, he wrote these psalms. He says, God, how many are my foes? Who are his foes? The son and the whole jingbang, the whole group of people. All right, then the whole army of Israel. All right, and on top of that, he says, many are rising against me. One of the chief person that rose against him, he's his own counselor. He has this guy called Ahithophel. He's a brilliant counselor. And the Bible says that his words are like the oracles of God. Then when he speaks, right, wow, so much wisdom. Nowadays, we say this person has the gift of wisdom. And he was so sad to find out that his own trusted counselor have turned over to the dark side, all right? And let's read chapter 3. It says, many are saying to my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Salvation here means deliverance. So as he was running for his life, people were laughing at him, people were mocking him, and people say, there is no deliverance for you. If you look at these Psalms, just the first two lines, you can see, many, 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 many problems. Yet, you know what he said, the following Psalm? He says, but you, oh God, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. This same word about is seen in Book of Lamentations chapter 3. It's where Jeremiah used the word that, you know, God, you wall me in. So about, like a shield about me, it's not those Captain America shield, you know. No, you hold and then you need like... Actually, when I watch Captain America, I always wonder how come people don't want to shoot him from behind. They only want to shoot him from in front. You shoot him from behind, he sure die already, right? But somehow, he one shield, he can go like that, like that. But in this word, right, in this about meaning, God, the word says that it's about. It's not just front. It's front, side, back, top. It's like Israel war now, right? You know why the bombs never reach Tel Aviv? It's because they got this iron dome. It's a dome. That when the missile shoot, right, suddenly there's like a... a dome, lah. It's not physical dome, but somehow it covers the whole area. So therefore, the bombs doesn't land in Israel, in populated areas most of the time. So it's like this. God is not your shield in front. God is your shield at the side, at the back, at the top. So I'm going to tell you a story of George Washington. Now, when George Washington was 23, he worked for DHL or FedEx. You know what his job is? His job is to bring messages from the general to the troops and the officers at the battleground. So he will ride his horse to and fro. They were fighting the Red Indians. Now, by then, the Red Indians don't use just arrow. They also got rifle already. So he is a 6'2" man. Now, as I stand here, I look. I don't think we have a 6'2" here. Is anybody 6'2" here? If you can raise your hand. I know in Rimbayu, when I said that, we had a 6'2" Amor. And you're a big size Amor. So if you are on a horse, you're riding into the battleground, you are a sitting duck, right? Literally, I can shoot you because it's so easy to catch you, right? So what happened was, there were about 86 messengers, couriers. Out of the 86, 63 perished. Because it's very easy to die. Because you are just running, you are riding a horse through the battlefield. Very easy to die. 63 died. So left how many? 23. Out of the 23, 22 are injured. You know how I know it is 23? Because I have to use calculator at home. Because we're an accountant, we are so used to use, you know. And it's just calculator. It's 23. Only one person had no injury. And this is what George Washington said. He says that, God, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. I had 4 bullets through my coat, 2 horses shot under me, and yet I escaped unhurt. This is the shield that he had. And I Googled yesterday, when was the bulletproof vest been manufactured? It's only been manufactured in 1970-something. During our time, George Washington, he's 1750-something. So it must be God, right? For you to be singularly the only one that is unhurt, riding up and down. And 15 years later, the Indian chief went to see George Washington. And he said this. He said he wanted to see this guy because he wanted to tell George Washington what actually happened. He said here, he says, our rifles were leveled. Rifles that does not know how to miss, you know. And they were, and he was exposed. George Washington was exposed. They were leveling the rifle, but they could not kill him. Wow, that's amazing, right? And so the Indian chief said, I've come to pay homage to a favorite of heaven who can never die in battle. That's a shield for you. And that's the shield God has around you. So let's go back to David. He says, I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me. And guess what happened? In the midst of him being chased by his son and the troops, he could lie down and sleep. And he said this, I woke again for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me. Now, how could David sleep when there were thousands of people after him? He had confidence in the Lord because this was not his first battle. He had many battles when, especially like David and Goliath, right? He could like beat David and Goliath. How? He could beat Goliath because God was with him. Now, you know why? What happened is he prayed this prayer. He says, God, Ahithophel, his favorite and most wise counselor is now with Absalom. Oh Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. While he was running away, he just prayed. He doesn't know what to do. He just have to pray this. And guess what happened? Not only that, God was working in his background. And God had his friend. David has his friend. His name is Hushai. And then Hushai wanted to follow David away. David said, no, you stay back. You stay back and help me. You'll be more helpful to me here with Absalom than you follow me. So Hushai stayed back. I tell you, you go back and read. It's very interesting. So when Absalom came to Jerusalem, the father has already fled. So he asked Hushai, Hushai, what should we do now? Hushai said, very simple. I will gather 12,000 men. With the 12,000 men, I will chase your father tonight when he is weak and when he's sad. I will only kill him. After I kill him, I'll bring the rest back. No other people will die, just your father, and then you can be crowned king. Actually, that's very wise, you know. Correct or not? Because you only kill one person that you want to die. You don't need to kill everybody. You just kill the one person. Then the rest will say, wow, you're such a good king. You allow, you spare us, I will serve you. So everybody said, wow, that's a good advice. But then, you see, God was at work. Absalom said, yeah. The advisor said, yeah, good advice. Suddenly, Absalom said, why don't we ask Hushai? Hushai, what do you think? So Hushai said this. Hushai said, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. You should wait. We wait until all the armies gather here. From Dan to Bathsheba, they all gather. And then you, king, you lead them into the war. And then, right, there are as many, as so many people, right? And then when we come, we will just annihilate everyone. And then you'll be the champion. Everybody can see how strong you are. Wow! Hushai trusted God to give him a wisdom beyond his years to cause Absalom to follow his way. You know why? So that it gives David the extra time to run. So when Absalom looked at him and said, okay, nah. Hushai's idea is good. Because Hushai pandered to his ego. He leads the people to war. And it's going to be surely a win because you have more than tens of thousands. The whole Israel army is coming and just hunt down one single person. So God was at work. And therefore, David could just sleep and wake up and know that the Lord walks with him in the background. I want to share you this story of a pipe organ. This was during the days when you don't have keyboard. You have pipe organ, and then you can see the guy is playing on the pipe organ, and then you have somebody that is pumping air. All right? So this story goes of there's this very famous organ virtuoso. Very pandai one lah, play the piano one lah, organ. So what happened is he had this concert. So when he has this concert, right, everybody know he's very famous. So when he stepped and then he raised his hand, when he let his arm down, and he played so beautifully. Everybody was like, wow. So when he finished for 1 hour, he was just playing so well that when he finished, right, everybody stood up, you know, everybody clapped and hollered and said, whoa, encore, encore, encore. And this guy stood up, you know, and he bowed down and he walked to the behind the curtain. He was so proud of himself. Then he saw this African-American guy. And this African-American guy that was helping him pump the organ, because, yeah. And then this African guy looked at him and said, wow, don't they love us? Wow, this organ virtuoso look at him and say, us? No, they love me. Then after that, he walked out again. You know why? Because he said, encore, encore. So when he went out, he went to the piano, he lifted his hand up, and then he let his arm down. No sound. Whoa. He lifted his hand up, everybody is very quiet, you can hear the pin drop, and he let his hand down. No sound. So he stood up, he ran behind and he said, man, pump, man, pump. And then this African-American said, no, 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 no. If you could have done the first half by yourself, you can go out and do the second half by yourself. Wow. The organ virtuoso realized that, wow, it's actually not just me. Is someone behind me helping? So he grabbed the hand of this African-American and he went to see this guy. And he says, to the whole crowd like this, and he says, I want to show you who is the man behind me helping me to play this piano, this organ well. Without him, I am nothing. Just the same with us, don't you think? That we need God behind us when we go through good times, when we go through bad times. Right, let's continue with 7 and 8. It says, arise, O Lord, save me. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. Salvation or deliverance belongs to the Lord. Now, it shows here, you know there are 8 verses to this psalm. The first 2 psalms, the first 2 verses are, woe unto me, God, so many problems, so many problems, so many problems, many, 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 3 times many. Then, 4 verses down, and the 4 verses down, instead of the woe, God, woe unto me, these 4 verses says, God, you are my shield. Lord, when I sleep, I know I'm awake because you sustain me. And then the last 2 verses is a battle to stand and fight. Can you see how David prayed? This is amazing, right? Now, when I was preparing this, I was thinking, like, when was one time in my life that I really felt God worked supernaturally in my life? My husband sits in front so that he will tell me when I overtalk. I love to talk, right? Then he will do like so I try not to look at him too much, so I'm not so stressed, like, right? When he showed the sign, right? Okay, so my husband has always wanted me to be a housewife, so I've never wanted to be a housewife. Somehow, when you marry a pastor, right, that's a problem. When you pray to God, I don't want to go, I don't want to be a housewife. And he prayed to God, Lord, let my wife be a housewife. Then he win, right? So I have susah. So sometimes it's not fair, you know, sometimes it's not fair. But anyway, life is unfair. The earlier we learn that life is unfair, the easier life becomes, correct? So he prayed, that's why I became a housewife. So, but before I became a housewife, I was working in the corporate world. I was with this company, this big multinational firm. And I was there for about 10 years. I joined right after I finished my ACCA. So then I have always wanted to do supply chain, because halfway studying, I realized I don't want to be an accountant. ACCA is not for me. I called my mom and said, I don't want to study this course. It's very hard. And I realized I don't like to be an accountant. It's so boring. Then my mom said, okay, what do you want to study? I said, I want to do interior designing. My mom said, really? You finish, then you go and study interior designing on your own money. Okay, so after I finished ACCA, I decided no more. I don't want to study anymore already. I got phobia of study. So what happened was this. So when I was in the corporate world, so after maybe 8-9 years, right, I realized one day my boss called me to the room and he said, oh, guess what? I got promoted, he said. And he says, my position, you are taking it. So he's the head of supply chain. I still remember me and my husband, we sat down with Pastor Tim and Teresa. Pastor Tim and Teresa were our marriage counselors, right? Premarital counselors. And during one session, we had to write down what's our dream, you know? I think a lot of fiancé girl, the girlfriends would say, oh, my dream is my husband, we'll have so many kids, whatever, 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 a big house, you know, a lawn or whatever. My dream was, I want to be the head of supply chain. Then after, when I look back one day, I look at the book, I say, oh my goodness, so terrible, right? I'm so like, not very motherly, right? So anyway, so when my boss told me, I was very happy. But then I almost took over like maybe 2/3 of the supply chain already. That's another part of a department that I've been before, I've headed before, but I've moved on to other department. So the happiest part is the salary. It's almost 50% increase, right? Because it's pretty much a big job. So anyway, I was so happy. I went home. I was like, oh, just dreaming of how can I, you know, how much money I can save from the increment and the shares, bonus shares that they will give. And then 2 days or 3 days later, I think it's within a week, my boss called me back to the room and said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, him, sorry for what? He says, I'm so sorry because I don't think we can give you that job. I say, what? Why not? He says, oh, there's some complication. Because that department that I don't oversee, this manager, and she came to see my boss and she said that we are the same age. I do not want to report to her. Wow, like my boss, is it like that also can, man? He says, well, it will be very tough for you if you fight. You know, if you don't see eye to eye, it's going to be a very difficult... It's already a hot seat, supply chain. You have this kind of issue, it'll be even hotter. So I feel maybe not now. I want to say, I'm very honest with you. I didn't say, oh, it's okay, you know. I didn't. I look at my boss. Okay, I look at my boss. I say, you, it can be like that one. But I also know one thing. I've always seen God work in my career. So I look at him. I said, but it's okay, I told him. Okay, it's okay. Because, you know why? Because I was doing campus and young adults and campus, right? We were doing campus. And I realized, if I fight with my boss, I insist, I go and bang tables with the HR director and say, no, how come like that? And all, I think potentially I can push my way through. But I also realized if it's constant strife in the office, then I don't think I can serve very well in church. I'll be like, you know, go to life group, please pray for me. Go to life, please pray for me. Every week also you have to pray for your life group leader because life group leader are like, okay, like they're dying like that, right? So I'm like, okay, fine. I say, thank you very much. I thank my boss for helping me, put me, you know. As I left the place, I was a bit sad, but I knew that God would take care of me. So I just let it be. 2 days or 3 days later, I got a call from my chairman. So when I went to his room, I wonder like, did my department do something wrong? Then he said this. He said, sit down. He says, I heard there's some issues regarding your promotion. I said, yeah, you heard it right. You heard it very right. There's an issue regarding my promotion. And then he said this. He says, you know, I've thought about it and I've decided that I will give you the promotion. I look at him and say, you're going to give me the promotion? But, you know, I will have with this department reporting straight to your boss. I'm like, wow. So you mean, I said, do I get my... title is nothing. Money more important, right? So I said, so how about the increment? He says, yeah, you'll get the increment now. But 2 years later, when I give you the department, you don't come for a price increase. Don't come and ask for salary adjustment, okay? Because I give you 2 years earlier. I stood there and I said, wow. I said, thank you very much, Danny. Thank you. But in my mind, 2 years later, you're not going to be there. A new chairman is going to be here. I will go and see the new chairman when I get more of the new department, right? Right? But it's okay. Thank you very much. I didn't promise him. I said, thank you very much. Now, when I went back, I thought, wow, it must be God. Cannot be. I didn't do anything. I just go look at my boss and I say, I go back. It's okay. It's okay. I just want to honor God. It's okay. And I actually got the promotion without having to oversee this department. And I didn't know how ridiculous this kind of thing is until one day we were in a meeting. The sales director was very upset. And then he said, you know, so after then he said, you know, how could this particular department had some issue, You know, how could, you know, this thing happens? It was scolding me. Then I look at him, right? I say, okay, I will let this manager know what you told me. Because it's not my department. Anyway, it doesn't report to me, right? I'm just there because I'm the head of supply chain, but I don't oversee that department, right? And then he looked at me and said, do you know how ridiculous this arrangement is? You know, how could a head of supply chain not oversee that department? I say, I don't know. You ask Danny here. Danny approved one. I just follow only, right? So I look and I say that, God, you are a very good God. When I feel that I cannot do anything, you move behind me. So I hope that with this simple story that we will all know that behind you, there's someone pumping air into your organ. You are not alone. There is someone in the background. When you pray, when things doesn't seem to move, when things seem to be the same, God is there behind the background. So, how do you rest from self-sufficiency? This is what I always do. I choose to trust God. These are my 3 steps. Whenever I hit a problem, these are my 3 steps. Number one, I look back. I look back and I say, oh, you know, God has been faithful to me. This, God has been very faithful to me. Because God has been very faithful to me in the past when I go through trials and tribulation, I can look to Him and I can say, God, woe unto me, so many problems, many. And then I say, one thing I know, in all things, God will work for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So God will turn it around for good. And then with that, I will look forward and I will walk my journey. Now, it's not that my journey no problem, Anna. I have problems. I have journey. I have problems in my career. I have problems at work. I have problems raising up children. You know, I have problems. But I know that when I go through problems, I have God behind me. And He stands behind me. And He's a shield about me. And when I rest at night, I know that I can wake up. because God will sustain me. For whatever that you're going through, I hope this message will encourage you. If you're a parent here and you have children that is struggling through, not just exam, exam is small thing, you know, bigger things like addiction, like, you know your struggles. Or if you're in the corporate world, your career isn't moving, people backstab you, or if you have your own business, and then the business you thought you heard God very correctly, but God, how come turn out like that? You trust God, because God never fails us.